loudly cried out, "Alas, alas!" And King Yudhishthir was somewhat saddened. But the Supreme Lord, whose mere glance had bewildered Duryodhan, remained silent, for his intention was to remove the burden of the earth. Srila Prabhupada writes, "When Duryodhan left in such an angry mood, everyone regretted the incident, and King Yudhishthir also became very sorry. But despite all occurrences, Krishna was silent. He did not say anything against or in favor of the incident. It appeared that Duryodhan had been put into illusion by the supreme will of Lord Krishna. And this was the beginning of the enmity between the two sects of the Kuru dynasty. This appeared to be a part of Krishna's plan in his mission to decrease the burden of the world." So the next verse doesn't have a purport, and it is the last verse of this chapter, so I'm going to read it. Translation, I'll read the Sanskrit also. Etate bihitam rajan yat prishtoham ihatvaya suyodhanasya dauratmyam rajasuye mahakratau. I have now replied to your question, O king, concerning why Duryodhan was dissatisfied on the occasion of the great Rajasuya sacrifice. Thus ends the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 75th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Duryodhan Humiliated. Om Adnyanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guraha Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahidam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Beg the blessings of all the devotees. So this is a very nice chapter. Duryodhan humiliated. So if you think about the title of this chapter, Duryodhan humiliated, actually, if you go deep into the incidents which occurred you will realize that no one humiliated Duryodhan. He himself fumbled and fell and tripped, and he and the assembled Kauravas and the Yadus, as it is natural, if someone just fumbles, you tend to laugh spontaneously. It was not on purpose, nobody intended to insult him, it was his own mistake. The beautiful Maya Sabha was constructed by Maya Danav. It was so fabulous. And Duryodhan was walking, and he came upon a zone which was made up of crystal, and it was so shining that he thought it was water. It was so transparent that he mistook it to be water. So he lifted his dhoti and started walking very carefully, and all those assembled there were smiling, because it was not water, it was just crystal, but it was an illusion created by Maya and also the Supreme Lord. It was an arrangement of the Lord, as we can see. It was something extraordinary, that palace. We cannot even imagine. And then Duryodhan came upon another zone which was actually water. And Duryodhan, feigning confidence this time, just straight walked into the water as if it was crystal. He thought it was hard crystal, and he just walked and he fell akimbo, with his hands and legs spread out completely, with his helmet, and it was a very funny sight. And all the Yadus and the Kauravas, they started laughing, and Duryodhan immediately, he looked at them and nodded his head and said, "It's not good to laugh, don't do that, he will be humiliated." And Krishna, sitting there, just smiled, and he didn't approve of it. And he did not encourage it also. He was neutral. So it was his own mistake. He didn't. But Yudhishthir got off from his throne, as he is Ajatashatru. He has no envy within his heart. He went and very courteously, he went with Duryodhan and led him out of the room, speaking sweet words to console him. And Duryodhan also very laughing and smiling as if nothing happened. But within his heart he was seething with anger, because it was an utter, utter humiliation. Because all the Kurus were there, all the Pandavas were there, all the subjects, Yudhishthir Maharaj's subjects were there. And Krishna's 16,108 queens were there. All exquisitely beautiful, supreme goddesses of fortune. Can you imagine? Lord Krishna had personally come for the Rajasuya Yajna from Dwarka, which was, if you look into Google Maps, you will find that it is approximately 1,500 kilometers. And that also, if you read the route that they took, crossing the Saraswati River, and I don't know how they came, which route they took, but it doesn't seem like a line, it doesn't seem like a short distance, the straight line distance. It was like a curved path, and they came all the way around. The whole party of Sri Krishna, bullock carts and with horses and whole paraphernalia, they all went, must have taken months actually, probably more than a month to walk that distance. So all the goddesses of fortune were there to see such exquisite beauty assembled there. All very happy to see Yudhishthir Maharaj being coronated as the emperor of the universe was certainly making Duryodhan very envious. He was, as it is, seething with anger and jealousy. Moreover, to see all these women attending to Yudhishthir Maharaj and taking great pleasure, and more so when Draupadi laughed at him, that was intolerable. Because Draupadi was exquisitely beautiful, and Duryodhan had a crush on her, and he was also attending that Swayambar of Draupadi, and many of them are contending, but he couldn't win the hand of Draupadi, and she was married to Arjun, and now she is married to she's the wife of all the Pandavas. So that was making him even more envious, that how Draupadi could laugh at him. It's very difficult for him to tolerate that. So Duryodhan became very, very upset, because, you know, to be insulted by a man, it's okay. For Kshatriyas to be insulted, that's one thing. To be insulted by another Kshatriya, that's another thing. But to be insulted by a woman, very difficult. That too, Draupadi, very difficult for him to take. So Duryodhan was led out of the room, and he was pacified by Yudhishthir Maharaj, but Duryodhan was not pacified. He was seething with jealousy, and he went back to Hastinapur, and he told Shakuni, was also with him, and he told Shakuni that, my dear uncle, I am going to commit suicide. I am so unhappy. I am so jealous. I just cannot tolerate to see how opulent Yudhishthir has become. I cannot tolerate it. It is too much for me. I am going to commit suicide. So please tell my father. I cannot take it anymore. Shakuni took Duryodhan to Dhritarashtra and said, just see your son, he's so upset. And Shakuni said, don't be upset, don't worry, I have a plan. And everything that they have earned will be yours very soon. We have Karna, we have Bhishma, we have Dronacharya, we have Kripacharya, we have all the Maharathis with us. So Duryodhan immediately got the answer. He said, yes! So right now what we should do is immediately go with our army, attack Yudhishthir and take everything what he has, including Indraprastha. I want that for myself. Shakuni said, don't be a fool, Duryodhan. With Krishna supporting Yudhishthir, what to speak of any mortal being? Even Indra, along with 33 crore gods, cannot defeat Arjun and Yudhishthir. He is undefeatable right now. You cannot, through use of weapons, be able to challenge him and defeat him. It's not possible. But I have another plan. We can invite them for a gambling match. And Yudhishthir is not very good at gambling. He likes to gamble. He likes to play dice. That's his weakness. But he's not an expert, and I am the expert, world champion. So we will invite him, and we will see the fun. So immediately he goes, and he says, we should invite him to Hastinapur. And he says to Dhritarashtra, just see, your son wants to commit suicide. He's so unhappy. Dhritarashtra says, what is it, my dear son, why are you unhappy? You are living a life not less than a god. You have so many wives, you have a huge palace, you have so many servants attending you, you have incomparable wealth, you are a king. So what is your problem? Why are you unhappy? Duryodhan says, because I cannot tolerate to see Yudhishthir Maharaj in such opulence. That's my problem. You see, that's why it is said that there is no death greater than infamy. There is no fire greater than passion. There is no greater danger than anger. There is no greatest sadness than jealousy. And there is no great sin than fault finding. Duryodhan, after having everything that anyone can even think of, he was still unhappy. Because he was jealous. He was very envious. That's why they say jalan in Hindi. Jalan means to burn. And it is different from tap, tapasya that we do. That tap purifies us. But the tap of jealousy, of envy, not just ruins us, makes us very unhappy. Simply put, we are so miserable, simply. So Duryodhan was not at all happy with everything that he had. Because what he had seen, he couldn't believe. When Yudhishthir Maharaj was given half of the kingdom, when he came back from the Lakshagrai episode, attempt of murder was there, they were put in the house of lack and they were tried to be burned down, they escaped and they came back, and Dhritarashtra gave him half of the kingdom, the Pandavas. And even though it was half of the kingdom, it was Kandavprastha. It was forest and jungle, that's all. There was nothing. It was completely ruined and it was a cursed place. But how did that Kandavprastha become Indraprastha? Because Krishna summoned Indra, and Indra personally came and summoned Vishwakarma and built a huge city there. It became more opulent than even Hastinapur. And then finally, when Krishna was visiting Arjun from Dwarka, he came. That time both were there visiting the jungles. At that time, in the Kandavprastha episode, Mayadhanav appeared and volunteered to build that palace, celestial palace, equivalent to the palace of Indra, and even for that matter all the gods, Varun. And so it was a huge opulent place which they could not even conceive. Duryodhan just could not believe that house from rags to riches. This is a classic example that how much development has occurred in a place like Kandavprastha. And he couldn't take it. Just as Srila Prabhupada says, you know, sometimes when you see someone like some village boy moving around naked pencho, you know, Prabhupada gives the example of this naked pencho. A boy whose name was Pencho, and he was naked, moving around in the village. Nanga ghum raha tha. So the villagers used to say, "Oh, nanga pencho, naked pencho." Eventually he went to school, he got good degrees and big titles, he became a big lawyer. And the villagers, people were saying, "Are, wo graduate ho gaya." And the people of the villagers would say, "Graduate ho gaya? Kya, not possible, not possible. Yes. Are, wo to naked, wo to nanga pencho, wo to nanga ghumta tha. Wo kya graduate karega?" No, graduate. And then after that he becomes a lawyer, a magistrate. And the people say, "Are, wo pencho, magistrate ban gaya." So, magistrate, "Are, nahi, nahi, wo kya magistrate ban gaya?" "Nahi, nahi, magistrate ban gaya, I saw him. He was sitting, he was magistrate." "Acha, oh. ये उसको पगार नहीं मिलता होगा, उसको पगार नहीं मिलता, not possible." so difficult to accept, especially, you see, when you have, see, you will not envy someone whom you don't know. But you generally tend to envy those whom you know, like friends, relatives. And if you see in Mahabharata, all the envy and politics is taking place in the same family, cousin brothers, same family. We won't envy someone whom we don't know. He's rich, who cares? But within the family, there is a lot of, you see, and that is the problem. So he wasn't able to tolerate it. See, Duryodhan, when he was born, just to go a little bit in the history of Duryodhan, when he was born, asses were braying. Duryodhan had a very bad prarabdha. We can understand. Because when he was born, asses were braying. So, indicates that he had a very bad prarabdha. That means his soul was carrying a lot of bad karma. And he was very envious at birth. But however, a person's future is determined not just by his prarabdha, but also what inspiration he gets from his parents and what education he is subjected to. So, alright, we can see that someone who is a mean-spirited person, but however, that can be overcome. The birth defects can be overcome through proper samskaras. And that is our process, basically. You know, of giving proper samskaras from childhood so that he is freed from the defects, birth defects, as we may say, this, of the defects of the mind and the prarabdha, can be overcome. But that samskaras must be good. But Duryodhan never got proper guidance, unfortunately. His inspiration was his father, Dhritarashtra, who himself was attached. He never saw Dhritarashtra, you know, being selfless. He was always attached, even though he was not fit to be a king, but he was always longing, and he was always thinking, oh, I wish I could be king, I wish I would be king. So that was his role model, his father, Dhritarashtra. Then he had, unfortunately, Shakuni, to constantly counsel him and ruin his brain and poison his mind right from childhood. What a bad association. And then we know that how he was born. His mother, Gandhari, even though she was such a great soul, very chaste and everything, but we understand that when she was pregnant, and even for that matter, both like Kunti and Gandhari, they were like in that sense competitors, because whoever would have given birth first, their child would have become the emperor. So it was like a competition, who will give birth first. And Gandhari was pregnant, and she got the news that Kunti has given birth. Yudhishthir, of course, a celestial birth, Yudhishthir was born, and immediately she became so upset, so envious, so jealous. It's natural, women may experience that sometimes. It's not expected, so we don't have very high expectations from a queen, but from the king, yes, certainly, when he is ruling, when he is an administrator, then certainly you have high expectations from other administrator. But she was, so she became very envious, and she pounded her womb, and a mass of flesh was born, and Vedavyas was called to administer what had happened. And he cut the womb into 100 pieces and put it in pots, and then from them came the 100 sons, the Kauravas, Duryodhan being the eldest. So he was born out of that, you see. Mother, so serious bad karma, prarabdha. Unfortunately, he had bad guidance also. So therefore it is said that it should be right from childhood, people should be given proper samskaras. And that is Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Komaram acharit pragyo dharman bhagavata niha. that adhyatma, spiritual training should be given from childhood, from bachpan. Unfortunately, people feel it is not from bachpan, it is from pachpan. Spiritual training begins at 55. They think like that. But it is Kaumarama Charit Prakyo. From childhood, and then it takes effect. Recently, I was just seeing one video clip, one episode in South America. There was this one man who happened to find a crocodile, a baby crocodile. He was seriously wounded because he was shot by a farmer in his eye. He felt pity for the crocodile. He brought it home and, you know, started nursing it, gave it medicines, gave it food, and started speaking very sweetly and lovingly to the crocodile. And he nursed it back to health and sent it back into the river. The next day, he found that the crocodile came back into his house, sitting in his veranda. He took the crocodile, put it back into the river. Again, the next day, he came back. And he thought, what is this? Something is wrong. Something is special. So then he started keeping the crocodile like a pet, speaking very sweetly with him and just treating him like a friend. That crocodile grew to be 500 kilograms. He named the crocodile Pocho. And he would go into the river and he would say, Pocho, Pocho. And then the crocodile would come out, open its mouth, and then he will close its mouth and then receive him. And that man will kiss him on his snout. So friendly. And he would swim with him. Huge crocodile. People were so shocked to see how a man and a crocodile could be friends. Impossible. And then a huge gathering, many people started coming, and he used to organize shows. He used to go under the, many people would come, he would sell tickets, people would come, and then he would go, he would call, Pocho, Pocho, a crocodile will come, then he will go under the crocodile, he will push the crocodile with his hands, he would push the crocodile, and the crocodile will go on his belly. Do such amazing things, people would be shocked. How is that possible that a man and a crocodile can be friends? How is it possible that a crocodile can give up its animosity, its cruelty? Crocodiles are known to be ferocious. So it all happened because of receiving that unconditional love from this man. A crocodile was transformed. Who expects a crocodile to exhibit human behavior? It's ridiculous, isn't it? We even quote in the Gita course, we say, Ahar nidra bhaymai thunam cha samanyam etat pashubir naranam dharmo hi tesham adhiko visheshu dharma vihina pashubir samanam. That these higher qualities cannot be exhibited by animals, by pashu. But these are exceptions. We see that even animals are exhibiting human-like qualities. How is that? So that is the power of getting unconditional love and proper samskaras and treatment. It is possible. Some people argue that maybe there was some bullet wound in its head and some genetic transformation has taken place, and as a result of it, this crocodile has forgotten its natural instincts and has become like human or whatever. No, and it has been seen in so many such cases, not just a crocodile. There is another episode of a bear, a brown bear, who was again nursed from childhood, unconditional love, and it grew to be 500-600 kilo bear. And this man, the person who brought him up, is like a tiny dwarf in front of him, and he's playing with him and doing so many things, and people are coming, and he says, you can't do what I'm doing, you can't do, if you come close he will eat you up. But he's thinking, I am his father. The bear is thinking that I am his father, therefore he's treating me like that. So with the proper sanskaras, it is possible to transform. So what to speak now? He didn't give any Krishna conscious training to the crocodile. Just unconditional love. So then what to speak of when we give proper Krishna conscious sanskaras to children right from childhood, the process will certainly take root and one can overcome all one's past prarabdha and become a very civilized and rise to a level of a Vaishnava. It is possible. That is the whole process, and that's what Srila Prabhupada has also personally done by giving initiation. Isn't it? Yasya yallakshanam proktam pumso varanabhyanjana. Yatha kasyam vidhanena. It is said that just as a gunmetal can be treated with some chemicals and be transformed into gold, it is possible. Tatha diksha vidhanena dvijatvam jayate nirnam. Similarly, by the process of diksha and samskaras, anyone can be transformed into a Vaishnava. Dvijatvam jayate nirnam. So, unfortunately, Duryodhan did not have that training. He had wrong guidance, people to instigate him, and unfortunately, therefore, he was misguided. Because everyone is born with envy. By birth, everyone. Kalau Shudra Sambhavaha. Janmana Jayate Shudra. Everyone has these base qualities. We can see it in children. Isn't it? You can see in everyone. I was there once in a temple and a congregation devotee had come with her small daughter. She had some chocolate in her hand and I said, Hare Krishna, what is that you have in your hand? That chocolate. Okay, why don't you give me? And I extended my hand. Immediately she took the chocolate and she put it at the back. No. How does she know? Who has taught her that you should hide the chocolate? Somehow it is there in the past. Samskaras. I'm sure that the parents must not have taught them because they are devotees. One day I remember I was sitting down outside in the veranda. Some two children were playing. Just playing with a ball. So I thought maybe they don't know how to play properly. So I will teach you. So then I set them, I made a circle, put the ball in between and told them, now you come and pick the ball and go to your side of the compound. And then they started playing, gave them points. So they were competing with each other. And then one boy won, straight points he won. The other boy couldn't even get one point also. Finally I said, okay, never mind, alright, so good, y'all enjoyed the game? Yeah, we enjoyed. So I didn't know, I was like, I was in that sense, I think, foolish. I should have known that it would have made them miserable. After some time, one boy disappeared. I was wondering where the other boy has gone. So the boy who lost, he went behind the pillar here and he was screaming. His face had become red and he was as if like he was so upset. So upset. I said, what happened to you? And he couldn't tolerate. He lost. He couldn't tolerate that he lost. And I was thinking that, my God, what did I do? I mean, I set them up against each other. And that's what we unconsciously do. And the whole, if you see, the whole society is based on competition, is it? Even in school, somebody is given first rank. What does that mean? It's like you are better than so many other people, higher than others. So the subtly, we are setting up people against each other. Society is programming us and drawing envy out of people, because envy is a motivator. It's a great motivator. People do things out of what? Out of ego and envy. Isn't it? Like a man climbed the Himalaya, Mount Everest. First time he climbed the Mount Everest, he was asked, wow, you climbed the Mount Everest. Oh, wow, amazing. Amazing. Seriously, how did it look like? Was it nice? Was it beautiful there? I mean, you saw all the snow. Could you build a house there? I mean, did you see any nice settlements? He says, no, house and all. I didn't go to build a house. Really? So then why did you climb the mountain? I just climbed because no one else had climbed the mountain. So I just... No one had did it, so I wanted to do it. Do something which no one has done. People do things out of ego and out of envy. So the society actually fuels envy in order to get people to follow them and get people to look at their advertisements. If you see people, all successful people, rich people, they're given awards for how they look. And they're given awards for their different skills that they have. And people in general are envious, oh, they have that skill, I don't have it, oh, and then people feel that, okay, I should also do it, and then they just become victim. It's bringing out the envy of people. And therefore, we have to be very careful of this bad association, just as Duryodhan was getting this very, very bad, sinful association. Similarly, we may get all these different kinds of associations by way of these billboards and this media and the society at large. Because envy is there in all of us. So we have to curb them. And we have to avoid places and we have to avoid association where such kind of material qualities are glorified. As if these things are so important. And counteract that by celebrating others' victories. What is envy? Sadhu is supposed to be para dukkha dukhi, para sukha sukhi. Others' happiness should make a devotee happy. Others' misery should make us miserable. But we are the opposite now. In a conditioned state, we have become just the opposite. Others' misery gives us happiness and others' success makes us morose. अरे क्या बात है तू बहुत दुखी लग रहा है क्या करूं तू इतना सुखी है. This is the situation. So Duryodhan was seething with envy. He couldn't tolerate to see that. Yudhishthir Maharaj's opulence. It is said that he was in charge of the treasury and he was receiving all the gifts, the emeralds, the rubies, and they were all kept in a pile which was as big as a hill. Yudhishthir Maharaj fed on the day of the Rajasuya Yajna, he fed 100,000 Brahmins. And he gave 30 virgin girls to 88,000 Snatak Brahmins, that means just graduated students, bachelors, he gave them as wives. That is around 25 lakh, nearly 25 lakhs approximately, virgin girls as wives. That much charity he gave Yudhishthir Maharaj. Seeing all this, Yudhishthir Maharaj's eyes were popping out. He couldn't tolerate. Kya hai? What is this? And he wanted. So therefore, I mean, there's a lot to say. Because of lack of time, we'll have to stop here. But the process, as Srila Prabhupada says, is to take up to the process of Krishna consciousness so that we can become purified of this Duryodhan-like mentality and become free from this disease. Because as we become familiar, this is all familiarity breeds contempt, you see. Yudhishthir has become familiar with Yudhishthir. Yeah, own brother, how can my brother become superior to me? So as we become so familiar with even devotees, we may develop this attitude of envy and other such things. That's why they say, you know, that after some time we lose taste in Krishna consciousness. What gave us pleasure, if you see a new devotee coming to ISKCON, he doesn't know anything, he doesn't know any philosophy. So he's humble because he doesn't know. After some time he knows a lot. So then there is a possibility of becoming proud of the knowledge that he has got. He's new to Krishna consciousness. So he's the junior most. Everyone in ISKCON is senior to him. So naturally there is respect for one and all. So Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He'll offer obeisances to everyone. Very conducive to progress in Krishna consciousness. That's why we see new devotees make very rapid progress and after a few years, then a bottleneck comes. Because all those situations that are prevalent in the life of a new sadhaka is very, very conducive for Krishna consciousness. But as a result of our progress, we start identifying with our social position, with our knowledge and with our seniority. So then we start losing the taste because we stop giving respect and we start expecting respect. Oh, why didn't you offer obeisances to me? I am senior. Why the lamp didn't come to me? Why I was not given the chance to sing? Why I was not given the chance to give a class? We are identifying with our social positions. That's why they say now every 6 months we should join ISKCON. Every 6 months we should join ISKCON. Recently there was appearance day of Advaita Acharya. One small episode. We see that Advaita Acharya was 52 years. when Mahaprabhu was born. Senior in age, 52. But still Advaita Acharya never identified with his social position. He was a top Brahmin, leader of his community, but he always considered himself servant of Mahaprabhu. And he, because he was the disciple of Ishwarapuri, Mahaprabhu gave him great respect, because he was on the level of his spiritual master. Mahaprabhu would give him a lot of respect. And Advaita Acharya did not like it. And he was thinking, how I can make Mahaprabhu instruct me rather than always respect me. I don't like this position. I don't want to be as a master. I want to be a servant. So Advaita Acharya went and did something which Mahaprabhu did not like. Mahaprabhu hated the monistic philosophy. He hated the impersonalistic philosophy. And therefore, Advaita Acharya took up to preaching the Yoga Vishishta, impersonalistic philosophy. And when Mahaprabhu came to know, he immediately came running there and held Advaita Acharya by his beard and said, "What is this you are doing? Now you tell me, what is superior, the impersonalistic understanding or the personalistic understanding?" Advaita Acharya said, "Obviously it is impersonalistic understanding is the highest." Mahaprabhu started punching him on his face, kicking him, and Advaita Acharya was in bliss, receiving the kicks, being manhandled. So much of aparad, actually, in one sense, to kick a senior. But Advaita Acharya was laughing and smiling, and he was saying, I am so happy. Mahaprabhu became stunned and he said, "Why are you smiling?" He says, "Now I am happy you have accepted me as your servant. Always you were respecting me. Now I have shown the world that I am not the boss, I am the das. You are the boss. And I like it this way. I like to be a servant." He never identified. It was not possible for Advaita Acharya to have done what he did if he was identifying with his social position. Oh, I am so senior. Oh, I am a leader of a community. Oh, I am, I am Mahavishnu and Lord Shiva incarnate. I'm not an ordinary person. He could have thought like that. So, but no. We can see even in Bhagavatam there are other examples of Daksha offending Lord Shiva. Daksha Prajapati was identifying with his social position of being the father-in-law of Lord Shiva. So according to the society norms, father-in-law is kind of superior. So he expected Lord Shiva to respect him. But Lord Shiva is an avadut, and he didn't get the respect that he expected. And as a result, he got offended. And time and again he was trying to offend Lord Shiva. But finally, it was the cause of his own downfall. And also here we can see that Duryodhan's offenses will lead him to his own destruction. That's why in the Bhagavatam it is said that offense to a devotee, the dust of the lotus feet of a devotee is so powerful that it can give you devotional service and destroy all the anarthas, or the dust of the lotus feet of the devotee is so powerful that it can create just the opposite effect of completely destroying your life if one offends the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. And Duryodhan has got into that loop, just as there is a saying in English, habit is a cable, we weave a thread of it every day, and at last we ourselves cannot break it. We get into that trap, we get into that cycle. Duryodhana has gotten into that cycle, and he is not able to get free because he has got all these bad people to counsel him in the wrong way, and as a result he is finished. So the solution in this society today is the Sankirtan movement. Srila Prabhupada said that by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, we can be completely freed from these tendencies, lower propensities, base qualities, and become completely purified and engage in the service of Lord Shri Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.